Hey, it's Lori from Hike. I'm back. I'm back with a new episode. I'm bringing you Zach and Corinne Cuss. You've met them both on the show, but separately, so it's great to have them together. So Zach's come on talking about doing the Foothills Trail in 3 days. He's talked about some of his Art Loeb hiking. And then Corinne has come on and talked about the Enchantments Trail. But together, they're going to talk about their hike of the Foothills Trail. It's a great conversation that you're not going to want to miss, so take a listen. Okay, so I'm here with Zach and Corinne. How are you doing?
Doing good.
Doing good.
I don't think I've ever chatted with you together, have I?
No, you did meet after we did the Enchantments hike 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, and then you've done Zach a couple times.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm like, it's great to have you together.
Yep. Tight up,
I know.
Yeah, the listeners can't see, but you know, you're close. Close quarters.
Otherwise they would see the lovely ceiling and the paneling.
Well, let's give a refresher to people who may not have listened to the earlier episode. Just let them know who you are and just a little bit about yourselves and hiking.
So I'm Corinne, and I have been with Zach for almost 18 years. Actually, March 25th is our 18th anniversary. Yep. And yeah, I know.
Now it makes it extra special.
And he has always done like crazy adventures and been a big outdoor guy. And I only started getting into it 3-4 years ago now. Yeah. When he wanted me to do the Art Loeb with him. He's done it many, many times. And I agreed, and then realized about a month before we were supposed to go that I couldn't get out of it, and really started doing more hiking in preparation. And then that just sparked my love for it. And so we've been hiking together on a regular basis ever since. The past couple months, we've not been able to hike as much. Life and children and work has been a bit crazy, but
yeah.
Yep. All right. So that's me.
All right. So I'm Zach, and I'm just the other half of the shenanigans. I've been doing stupid stuff in the woods for a long, long time, and I drag people along, and that's how she ended up there.
So how do you guys hike as a couple? You know, how was it in the beginning, I guess? Did it take a minute to get your rhythm?
Yes. So Zach learned very quickly that my love language is words of affirmation, and he would constantly be like, you are doing a great job. Now, some of it was just like placating me and patronizing and stuff, but a lot of it was heartfelt, and that really like helped me push myself to want to hike better and keep up with him, which is impossible because he's just a little mountain goat. But he always leads because I hate leading. And the spider webs get in my face. Mm-hmm. So he takes one for the team.
Yeah. I kind of just happen to settle into a different groove than I would normally if I'm by myself, and taking into account how the other person's feeling has been super important.
Every now and then I think he forgets I'm with him, and him and Nelly will, our dog will be ahead of us, and I'll just like kind of stop and I'll be like, oh, hey, up there. It'll take him a minute because he won't hear me breathing heavily. And he'll be like, oh, sorry. And then he'll stop and wait for me to catch up. But I definitely find that I push myself harder when I hike with him versus if I just hike by myself or with my friends, because I, you know, after 18 years, I still want to impress him.
Oh, I impress me.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, from my conversations with Zach, I know he pushes himself very hard. You know, for example, doing, you know, the Art Loeb in a day, your day lobes and stuff like that. So you can get pretty intense, I'm sure, on the trail.
Yes. Do you know about his most recent endeavor of doing the Art Loeb in a day every month for 13 months?
No.
Yeah.
He's rounding out his 39th year. So starting last March of 23, when he turned 39, he started doing it in a day. For a month, and he's done it every month since. So this month he'll do it February 9th.
Yeah.
And that will be his 12th one. And so he's technically done, but because he is who he is, he is doing it one more time in March to make it a full year, and that will be his 40th birthday.
Oh, you know, my milestone birthday is this March too, but awesome. I'm turning 50, so I'm a decade ahead of you.
Yes,
no, you don't look 50.
Well, I feel it sometimes, but yeah, so that's exciting. I know, I hadn't really thought of much, you know, to do from a milestone perspective, except maybe get married, like I said, you know, try to do that. But yeah, but no, I'm very impressed. So I know we didn't come on to talk about that specifically, but you're doing it like in the short daylight hours. So
yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot of starting in the dark and ending in the dark. Yeah, it's been an adventure, and getting to see it in all the seasons, once a month has been pretty cool. There's actually a tree I've been posting on my Instagram. I'll take a picture of that tree. It's essentially that halfway point. But when I get there, I've been taking a picture from the same vantage point every month, and it's kind of cool to see how the trails changed and progressed. And yeah, it's been interesting to see it in all the seasons. So,
all right. So, yeah. And your final one, are you doing it on your own, or are you bringing people along?
I think I'm doing it on my own. I've done it all by myself so far, so we'll keep with it.
Yep, me and the kids, we either drop him off in the morning or pick him up at night. He starts either at Davidson River and goes to Waynesville or vice versa. So he started his first one walking away from home, and his final one he'll be walking towards home. So, yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet.
It's been a cool project.
That is a cool project.
Was her brain
blame me, yeah, for suggesting it, because he said he wanted to do something to push himself, and I was like, you should hike the Loeb every month for a year, and then we did it. He did it.
I mean, I don't think it takes much. You give him a challenge, he's like, okay, I'm on it.
Oh, he's always looking for the next way to push himself and test his limits and suffer, as he says.
You guys did the Foothills Trail together. And that's what we wanted to talk about today. So tell me, when did that happen? I think it's been a while, I think, since you guys went, right? A little while?
October, like, 6th or something. Yeah. The first week of October is when we started. And Zach had done it in August 2 years ago in 3 days. And when we started talking about it, you know, because I wanted to do it, and he's like, oh, we could do it in 4 days. And I was like, I mean, it's 76 miles. I love hiking. I don't want to do something that's going to like break me and make me not enjoy it or something. And he calls it give me miles. And he came up with that term when he hiked the foothills the first time. His idea of give me miles are much different than mine. And it's just like flat walking, easy, just move at a quick pace. And he's like, oh, it's give me miles. And there was plenty of times on this hike when I was like, these are not give me miles.
That makes you look back a little bit on it.
Oh, I do. Give me miles. And he would be like, well, compared to Pisgah, they are. And I was like, well, anything compared to Pisgah is give me miles, you know, except maybe the enchantments. That was not. But so we had decided to do it in early fall when the weather was nice and our kids were back in school. So the grandparents had easier time watching them and stuff. And we couldn't have had better weather.
Yeah, we lucked out really
bad. Oh, my gosh.
So it wasn't hot. It wasn't super hot then. Good.
No, it was cool, that typical early fall stuff, and we had some colors on the leaves changing. It was just very nice.
Yeah. Pleasant. I mean, I don't think it ever got below freezing at night. The days were never above like 70. It was just sunny the whole time. We'd been in a drought for about 3 months, but the foothills has really good water sources, so we got lucky and still had plenty of water options. But and then a week later they closed like half of the trail because wildfire, so we just lucked out perfectly.
That is perfect timing. So
yeah.
give me the stats on I know we've talked about the foothills trail before on the show, but you know, we talked about, I think, what you said, 76 miles.
Yeah, so 70, yeah, somewhere in there.
Okay.
78,
yeah,
okay.
Depends on so how far you hike to go poop, you know.
Yeah. So tell me the terminus points and, you know, the geography of it.
So yeah, the two termini are at Oconee State Park and Table Rock State Park. We did it from Oconee to Table Rock, and we did it, and that's the way I'd previously done it. I kind of like ending on the harder stuff a little bit better than starting out with a heavy pack on the harder stuff. But yeah, that's those are the two termini. The geography, it starts out kind of roll. If you go from Oconee, it's kind of rolling and meanders through the mountains, and the grade's pretty gentle. But it kind of gets progressively harder as you go through the trail. Towards the end, it gets pretty steep and very rocky. Yeah, but it's a really well maintained trail, and there's lots of different side options to go check out other waterfalls and different views, and so it's very well maintained. The signage is great.
Oh yeah, the trail markers, like there's no way to get lost on that trail.
Yeah, we didn't have to. I mean, other than looking at where we wanted to go the next day, we really didn't have to bust out a map or use GPS at all. It's just get on the trail and go.
Yeah,
is a lot of hiking like amongst the trees and the tunnels, or do you get a lot of wider viewpoints, or is it just a mix?
I think it's more amongst the trees. There's a, what river is it through there? The Shatuga River. Like it follows the river or like offshoots of it a lot. So you're definitely more down. You're not having big ridges. Okay.
But you're having, but you mentioned the waterfalls. So there's a lot of water sources and things like that.
Water's never an issue.
Yep. So you don't have to carry. Like water in.
Nope. I think we only carried water one night, and it was by White Waterfalls after we did that the second night.
I think so.
Our second day was probably one of our biggest days at almost 19 miles. And it was because we got into this like no camp zone, the Duke corridor or whatever. You're not allowed to camp in there. And so we made it to White Waterfalls and we took the little offshoot up to see it with all those stairs.
It was a lot of stairs.
My thighs hurt. And then we were like, okay, we can either camp like right here at the base and then we have to do bigger miles the rest of the days, or we can push through. So we pushed through almost another 4 or 5 miles. And we got to some water, and then we carried like 2 liters or something to the campsite, and it worked out perfect. We actually met, what was his name? Panda.
Panda guy. Yeah, that's
Traveling Panda.
Traveling Panda.
He works for the Foothills Conservancy, and he's actually going for a Triple Crown this year. Mm-hmm. He's doing, and it was, we met him and had a great conversation that night. And,
yeah, were there a lot of other people hiking while you were there?
I counted. Remember?
Oh, yeah. I don't remember how many we totaled.
I started counting like all the people, and then I ended up just counting the women because it just interested me more, obviously. And I want to say we only passed like 20 women that were like hiking. There was a couple at like White Waterfalls where it was like a family out, so I didn't count them. Mm-hmm. But like people who were backpacking or day hiking, like a full day hiking, it was like 20 women. I think we didn't even see 100 people the whole hike.
Nah.
Like counting people who were just like going to the little scenic offshoots. It was great. It was not crowded whatsoever.
Yeah. No problems finding campsites.
Mm-mm.
So how many days did you do it in?
We did it in five days, 4 nights. Yep.
Yeah. We started later than we wanted to on the first day and finished earlier, like 3 o'clock on the fifth day.
Mm-hmm.
We had some pretty decent setbacks, or me on the fifth day, that made us move significantly slower than we had planned.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. So how did you plan for it? I know you've been on other hikes before, you've done Art Loeb, and so did you already have a routine of, you know, how you're going to carry, did you hammock tent, or did you use your regular tent?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Zach's got a great lightweight tent.
Yeah. Yeah. So we just divvied up. I mean, like I carried the shelter. She would carry the cook system. Yeah, for the most part.
My food.
Yeah, your food. Yeah. But yeah, we just divvied it up. I mean, I carry what I'd normally carry if I was going solo, you know, and just carried the shelter for both of us. And that lightened her load a little bit.
The tent's a trekking pole tent, which helped.
Yeah.
So
what kind of food do you take, or because you have to take for, you know, the 5 days or about the 5 days, so how much is that, or and what kinds of things were you planning on eating?
I end up overpacking food, which I typically do. It seems like I always have extra food over, but yeah, I mean, I think our food bags each weigh probably 7 pounds. Mm-hmm. Roughly.
We did like the Annie's mac and cheese that we could, you know, cold soak and then warm up at dinner. Zach actually carried a half pound of cheese in for us, and that was so good.
That was good.
We ate that on the first 2 days, and it was great. And then ramen and mashed potatoes. And Zach found some recipe for Thanksgiving on the trail, and it's like stuffing chicken in a bag or something, like with pouches. What else is in
great,
it?
Gravy pouch and mashed potatoes.
Gravy pouch, mashed potatoes. It was great. We ate that first night, and it was so filling. Cranberries, like dried cranberries. It's all, you know, dry. It's great and lightweight.
Do you have to hang your bag, I would think, or anything, or take a container?
Yeah. We just set up bare bags and hung them each night.
Yep. I got really good while Zach was setting up the tent at going and finding the tree that we needed and throwing the rope over and stuff, because he would always help me on previous hiking trips before, but this time by the end of the day we're tired. And
well, tell me how that works, because I know bears can climb the tree, so you got to get it far enough on the limb so that they can't reach it.
Yeah, you want at least like 6 feet out, and they say 6 feet up, so I mean sometimes that can be a challenge to find. Sometimes you have to walk a little way so you find a suitable tree, but there, you know, there's plenty of them. So
have you ever had something get into your food before?
Nope. No.
Oh.
Nope.
Okay.
No.
Sorry.
No raccoons, no any of that stuff.
Nope. Been pretty lucky. I did have on an overnight on the foothills trail with some friends that we were just doing a one night out. There was a pretty established campsite and some mice. As soon as you set your food down, they were all over the bag. You had to keep up with your bag and move it around. So.
Fun fact, Zach hates mice.
Yeah, I'm not a mice fan.
I love mice. I mean, not in my food bag, but
you know, they're nice in like the storybooks and all that, you know.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's about it. Cinderella can keep the mice.
Yes.
So planning, you already kind of knew what you were going to break down for your carry, and your you had water figured out and all of that. So what kind of worry do you going in, or not worried, but like, was there anything kind of like, you know, that you're thinking, what am I thinking about as I set off? Any nervous butterflies, anything that comes up?
I worried, this was the longest trail I had done. The most I'd done before was the Art Lobe, which is 31 miles. And the most I'd done before in a day was the Enchantments at like 24 and change. And so, you know, going into this thinking 76, you know, ish miles was a lot. And the fact that it was going to be such big consecutive days, like, worried me. And then I feel like, I don't know if Zach told me or for some reason my mind was just thinking that it was only 11,000 feet of elevation gain, but that was in my head. And then the morning we're getting ready, because his dad brought us, I found out it was 17,000 feet of elevation gain, which, I mean, the Lobe is almost 10,000, so it's not that much. But like, you know, adding an extra 6,000 feet of elevation onto what you thought you were doing, I was like, oh, shit, this isn't just like a walk. Like, this is a hike. And then I got pretty nervous about that. And I'm not so much these past couple months. I'm in decent hiking shape. I'm nothing like Zach, but just, you know, worrying that I was going to get really sore or hurt or something. And 76 miles is a long time to walk. That was my really only worry. I knew Zach would do everything. He's such a great person to hike with. He always, you know, helps and is supportive. And since he's done it, which is the nicest thing, I know that he knows the ins and outs of the trail, you know. So
yeah, I don't know. I guess my big concern was just the consecutive mileage for her over the course of the trip, you know, and doing it multiple days back to back, because she hadn't experienced that, but she did great. It was all good. And that was my biggest worry. So,
And since you've done it before, I guess, you know, you're prepping it for a longer time this time, but like, how did you approach it differently then from a planning perspective? Did you guys have, you know, a target every night? You said there was that day with the Duke Energy corridor where you knew you had to put in a longer day, but Were you winging it or just kind of saying, I know where these campsites may be and we're probably going to try for here?
Yeah, we played it pretty loose. We had, we knew we had to average 15 miles roughly a day. So that we had that in our minds. If we were short one day, we'd have to make it up somewhere else along the way. But no, I mean, we really just played it kind of loose aside from the day where we had to put in the extra miles to get through the that no camp zone in the Duke corridor. But yeah, I mean, there was a couple campsites I'd known and seen the previous time I did it. So I knew that they would be really pretty. We made a point to camp there. We go by Lake Joe Cassie, and it has some great campsites next to it. So
Beautiful.
we made a point to kind of time it where we could stop there for the day and enjoy the lake and camp there. Otherwise, we just played pretty loose. I mean, there's plenty of campsites and lots of options to go to on that trail.
And we had lots of conversations like while we were hiking, like the first day, I think we started close to 11 when we really wanted to be starting at like 9. And we were 9 or 10 miles in, and there was this beautiful campsite along the river. And we just had continued having conversations like, well, we could stop here, but like that adds a minimum of a mile extra a day for the remainder of the trip, sometimes more for
Yeah.
certain days. And we're like, no, let's push it a little bit. So sometimes, what was that first night? We ended up getting another great site
Yeah, it
along the
was
river
down the
that
way.
first night, but I think the second night was my least favorite campsite, and that was right after the corridor. And it was at a huge like campsite area where you could have large groups. It happened to just be us and the one guy that we met. Otherwise, we never had to share a site with anybody. And after we talked to him, we offered it. But otherwise, we had beautiful campsites
Yeah.
every night.
So the first time you said it was along the river, or where was your
Yeah.
group? Okay, and then the second was the group campsite. So
Yeah.
I guess give me some other highlights of day one and day two.
So they want, I mean, you spend a lot of time next to the Chattooga River, which is really pretty. And like I said, we ended up at a campsite next to it. Day two, I say it was a bigger day, but you get whitewater falls if you push hard on that day. And you also follow more scenic river along the trail goes by it.
And day two had some decent ridge line on it, I feel
Yeah.
like, because there was a time when we were having another conversation on day two about how far we wanted to push. We went by where Zach camped the first night at like 25 miles in or some god awful number. And he's like, well, we could stop here. And I was like, no, like it had beautiful views. But it was really pretty. You got to worry about those acorns. I found out about those acorns real hard
Yeah.
that second day. They're everywhere. It's worse than like ice and leaves in the winter time. Like they just roll and you go ice skating down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nature's roller skates,
Yeah, that
bud.
time of year they were dropping like crazy off the trees, and I didn't think that would be as much of an issue as it was, but yeah, when they're under a patch of leaves, you step down, there was just tons of acorns and
Or
long
yeah.
stretches.
And even when you see the acorns and you're like, okay, well, I'm careful, I'm putting my foot down, and then you just go, I don't know. We both fell at least once because of acorns and
Right.
almost fell many times.
How is it graded? Is it, pretty nice, like with switchbacks, or do you have like some things when you're doing the like just ups and downs? And because I get
Yeah.
nervous about the steep down. I'm fine going up. It's just
It's kind of a
down.
mix. I mean, it's fairly mellow overall. I mean, it does utilize a lot of switchbacks. I think the last 10 miles are probably the steepest up down types you encounter. I mean, otherwise they utilize switchbacks. It's a pretty tame grade most of the way.
And there's a lot of, I did not realize, even with Zach telling me, just how much old service road this
Yeah.
trail is made up of. Like, whether you could fit a car on it anymore, no, but like an ATV, probably. And like, there's so much of that,
Yeah.
like, probably 20 miles minimum.
Just give me miles.
Give me miles. Tell
But
those give
okay.
miles. Yeah.
So when I'm thinking of that, I'm thinking of some of the ones I've been on certain trails where it's like sunken in, it's kind of uneven, you got all the rocks, and not in this one. It was good.
No, it was graded nicely like that. Like even in the steep parts, there weren't like big ruts and roots and divots and stuff that you
Oh,
were
that's
like
good.
just, in a little trench. No, it was much more, even if you were going uphill or downhill, it was a flat section. There was on the third day going into Lake Joe Cassie,
Yeah.
that was some
It was kind of
iffy
gnarly, yeah.
stuff. But otherwise, and then the last day, like Zach said, but otherwise, I can appreciate it now that I have finished it. And I appreciated it not so much while I was doing it. And that's how I am with hiking, I've learned, but I appreciated it even the day after. I was like, that really was a great trail. So
Yeah.
I've learned that I'm a two hike person. I don't ever like a hike the first time. I think I might have said this with when we talked before, but now I'm like, no, I want to do this. I want to do this trail again. I think I will appreciate it so much more a second time. I'm a planner, so not knowing what something has in store for me, it doesn't sit well with me. But like after I've done it, I'm like, oh, I love this. Even the Artlobe, which is just a treacherous trail, I still love that trail because I now know
We're different than
it.
that. I like to go in with the mystery. I don't like to know what's coming.
No.
So.
I talked about doing this trail again with him in the spring or something, and he goes, no, there's so many more trails out there we can do. And I was like, no, but I need to do it again so I can like love it.
Well, yeah, maybe you just need to get some other hiking partners to come along, and you guys take it on and let him, I guess, go find the next mystery trail.
Well, that's he went to and did the Uintas
Yes, that's what I was
this
going to
month.
ask. I saw that on your Instagram. So, yeah, and that's pretty sketchy, right? Because I've heard it's all exposed and
Yeah.
storms and lightning and
All that. All
yeah.
that. Yeah, it is everything that you hear
Mosquitoes.
about it. Yeah, it's a pretty
Yeah.
gnarly trail. Like it's all above 10,000 feet. It is very exposed. It was a challenging trail. Like it's nothing I'd ever spent a lot of time in. I mean, it's kind of high desert, so it was just very different terrain than I was used to. There was a lot of wind and just different, living here on the East Coast and kind of a temperate rainforest, you get used to the shade the trees provide and it breaks a lot of the wind and things like that. You're out there, you're just totally in it. And the wind and the rain, the hail and the all that is just right there in your face.
Sounds so fun, doesn't
Yeah, it was beautiful though.
it?
Like it was so remote. Like, I mean, when you get it, once you get in there, once you're committed to it, the quickest route you have out is still 20 miles. And I think in the whole, we did the 80-mile variant of it, and we saw 15 people. We did it in 4 days, 3 nights, and we saw 15 people the whole time. And most of those were kind of situated around King's Peak, which is the highest point in Utah. There's actually a trail you can hike. It takes a couple of days to get into that area, but you can. People are base camp waiting to summit King's Peak, and that's where we saw most of the people. Other than that, it was just nobody up there.
Which is Zach's dream hiking.
It was perfect. Yeah, I
Yeah.
loved it. We didn't see anybody. It was
Like there's a
awesome.
reason there's no one there.
It's inhospitable, but I mean, it
Yeah.
was just really cool to see that kind of terrain.
So back to the foothills, you guys were kind of like on day three, going into day four, and you said the toughest part was towards the end. So, or I guess not maybe toughest, but just the part that wasn't as fun. So tell me about some of those challenges, or just what did you find out there?
Well, I think going into day three for me, we were really coming into like a beautiful part of it. I mean, the whole trip was beautiful, but I knew it was only going to be getting harder because we were at Lake Jocassee. And then from there, it went up Heartbreak Ridge, which I'd heard Zach talk a ton about. And luckily for me, he talked about how awful it was so much that in my mind, it was going to be like hand over hand and just like it was fine. I
I
struggled with
don't
way more different parts of that trail than I did with those 500 steps or whatever it is.
it's a ridiculous amount of little steps in there,
It was not bad. We separated for that actually. We made the agreement and
but
I was like, no, I'm going to put my stories in. And he put his death metal rage music in. And we separated a little bit and he would, go a mile and wait for me. And we got through it. And that was good. And we did that once or twice on the trail when I almost died by a coyote.
yeah,
That's a
that's a good
whole, we'll have
story.
to segue back to that. We did that a couple times, but not much.
Yeah.
I'm definitely more of a talker than Zach is.
No.
And I'm like, hey, on these 5 days together, I need you to like make a list of talking points so you can keep me entertained and keep my mind suffering. And he didn't do that.
We winged it. It was fine. It was all good.
I mean, after 18 years, you pretty much have talked about all the things you want to. But so we did that a couple times, but for the most part, we just hung together and just walked in silence and enjoyed the no children's yelling at us and stuff, which was nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, so after day, that was the morning of day four. Yeah, going into Lake Joe Cafe.
So why didn't you like Heartbreak Ridge?
I don't, I think in my mind,
it's like the middle of your,
well, yeah, like day. The previous time I did it, I'd done it fast. And I think it was just that I had to start, like the way I positioned myself, I had to start or end on that. I ended up camping just before it and then starting the next morning on it. And I was pretty beat up and sore the first time I did it anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think in my mind, I painted it to be worse than it really was, because it wasn't bad this time.
I mean, we started our fourth morning on it. So we finished our third day at Lake Jocassee, and we started our fourth morning. I mean, we walked 200 yards and then we were going up Heartbreak Ridge. Oh. So I think the fourth day was probably my hardest day, like overall, just in general, I was tired. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had done like 50 miles by this point, probably, maybe not quite. And I was just tired. There was the fourth day, even though I was more mentally tired, it was probably an easier day. We had a couple little ups at Heartbreak. Zach dislocated his shoulder for the umpteenth time, filtering water for me like a gentleman. He slipped on a rock and, like, you know, did the hero's push up and dislocated his shoulder, which he dislocates it all the time. But now he was carrying a 25-pound pack and
worked out.
What do you do? Do you like push, go against the tree? How do you get it back in?
I'm able to raise it up with my good arm, and it clicks back in. It's just it's all loose and jacked up in there. So it's just one of those things I deal with.
Then that made him sore and made me feel guilty, because I was like, no, I need water, because I drink a lot more water than he does. So, and then we got a great campsite that fourth night. The fourth was just a long day.
Yeah, that was super cool.
We went, where did we go? So Lake Jocassee.
We crossed Pickens Highway.
Pickens, yeah. We ended up filtering water in the river under this road bridge with like just cars over Pickens, which is kind of Rosman area near us, but just cars going by. Nobody knew we were just little trolls into the bridge. And then we went
back in the woods,
went back up into the woods again. And we finished that day on a pretty significant up. We were trying to make it to another campsite we knew was up there. Zach got stung for the fourth time on the trip.
Yeah. There were a lot of yellow jackets out that this trip.
They were angry. And since he hikes in front, he usually gets them.
It stirred them up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always on the legs. And then we got a campsite. And that one we had to carry, we had to camel water in, because there was no water at that campsite.
So we each carried a couple extra liters up there just to get us through the next day, because it was so dry. Springs.
And what site was that at?
I'm trying to remember what the name of that site was.
It's like the last, not the last one, but before, it's like 3 miles before Sassafras.
Yeah. It was 3 miles outside of Sassafras, essentially. I forget what the name of it was.
I kind of picture.
Yeah. But yeah, all the campsites have names and they all kind of run together. So it's kind of tricky to remember.
The camp was about 3 miles this way of Sassafras. And we camped on, like, we went down this little old service road a little ways. Yeah. And it was great.
Yeah.
There was a bear hang, so we didn't have to like find a tree. We could just use the hang over back at the main campsite. There was one person that ended up rolling in late that night as we were like brushing our teeth. We'd actually passed him on the second day, and he was
pushing big.
He looked tired. So he's like, I'm too tired. I'm not making food. So I gave him like my remaining pepperoni and some M&Ms. So I was like, here, eat something. And then he was gone the next morning before we left. So, cause he was finishing that next day too.
We kind of didn't want to get started early. We didn't want the trip to, it was already coming to an end, and we didn't want to get up that early.
Back to life.
So what happened with the coyote?
Go ahead.
Zach almost let me die. It's exactly how I told it to everybody when we got home. So there were several times where Zach tried to let me die by stepping on a snake or something. They were all harmless snakes. I mean, all his snakes are harmless. You just leave him alone. So there's plenty of things I don't let him live down. It's none of it's as bad as I make it seem by any means. But the coyote instance was before we were in some
Was day four.
long just trudge on day four, like late in the morning. And he's like, "Oh, I remember this section is a bit of an up." And I was like, "Okay, I'm gonna put my stories in, like I have audiobook kind of thing, and I'm just gonna get into that and make the miles pass." And he's like, "Are you sure?" You know, and he always makes sure I'm really okay with it. I'm not just saying it to appease him. So then he's like, "I'm gonna put my headphones in. I won't be able to hear you." Okay, I'm fine. I'll be fine. Like, you know, the foothills were great. I could see him most of the way. We would like keep doing this road crossing, and I would see him. He'd only be like 100 yards in front of me. And then we made a final cross across this road, and I have my story in, and I only hike with one earbud in because I still want to be able to hear my surroundings. Somebody hikes with both in on full blast. So I'm hiking, and we both use trekking poles because we're almost 40. And a coyote howls right behind me.
Oh.
And then another one right behind me howls. And I'm like, "Oh shit, stop my stories, take my earbuds out." And then one comes out on the trail in front of me, and we're middle of day. Like,
Yes.
we hadn't eaten lunch yet. It was like probably 12:30, 1 o'clock. And then the whole ridge to my left just like lights up with coyote howls. And I could tell that probably half of them were puppies because they had that like super
Oh.
puppy yip. But there was probably 30 coyotes just, and they like followed me for a little ways on the ridge, like in, or the sounded at least. I'm sure in my mind it's all way worse than it really was, but it was awful. But the whole ridge, which is probably 20 or 30 feet above me to my left, and they're just all doing that like coyote yip and howl, like alerting each other. Luckily, no more were behind or in front of me that made any noise at least. But for the next 2 miles, I pretty much jogged with one trekking pole out in front of me like a spear and one
Yeah.
pointed behind me.
I'm like, you gotta have the radius of
That's
safety.
exactly how I was like this. I was like, never put the stories back in. Oh my God. I was.
It was comical from my end, because I got to this campsite, and I was,
Where we plan to meet to
yeah,
eat.
we planned to meet and take a break at this site, and I was going down to grab some water, and Corinne was like, she came booking it out of the woods. I was like, damn, she was moving. And I was like, I thought I had way more distance on you. And I was like, good job. And she's like, I almost died. And now she started telling me a story about the coyotes. Like, did you hear the coyotes? I was like, what coyotes? Like, I didn't hear anything. It was just peaceful walk through the woods. At least in my head it was.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I can't believe that I didn't fall or something, because I mean, I was going so fast.
Yeah.
I think my average hiking speed for this trip was about 2.5 miles an hour. Zach's was probably his average one when he's not with me is like 3.5, 4. I mean, he hikes so fast. But for that section, I was probably going like 5 miles an hour. Like it was, I have long legs. It was a solid, you know, Olympic speed walker pace. But I kept looking behind me to make sure there was another coyote back there. And he's
Well,
like, "They're just dogs." And I was like, "Yeah, they're just dogs when there's one of them, not when there's,
yes, that's a pack. That's a pack.
So
I was kind of jealous you got that experience. I
he
thought that would be cool to
was.
see. I was like, man, I can't believe I missed
And
that.
in hindsight, it was, but it was also terrifying.
Yeah.
So
I
I'm
know.
like, why are you guys out in the middle of the day?
Yeah, I was like, this was in the middle of the day. Can you imagine if it was at dusk or, when you're hiking, a late day?
I think it
That would have been the first time I cried
have
versus the final day.
been cool. Oh, so what happened on the final day?
Oh.
That's like the day,
You
it's like
want to
all
talk
the
about the
emotions,
bear or
right?
crying? The crying before the bear. Z plural.
Bears,
Bears
yeah.
plural. So the final day, I was tired by this day. Like I felt good, but I think I was more mentally tired than anything. And I have scoliosis, but my back doesn't bother me when I hike. It actually feels significantly better when I'm active hiking. I mean, I'm an ER nurse, so I stand at work a lot, but the walking, it feels so much better than just like standing upright. And I have some like chronic, you know, middle-aged knee issues, my right knee. It wasn't feeling that bad, but at the end of the fourth day, no, it was the third day, going down into Lake Chokasi, my left knee started hurting me. Just like when I would step down a certain way, felt fine going flat, felt fine going up. It was just down. And I was like, ooh, that's not fun. The next day, the fourth day, it was fine until we started going down about halfway through the day. So having to be a little slower. Well, come that fifth day, I think we had 11 or 12 miles we had to do to be done. And it was either down or up. There was like no flat on that fifth day. So other people's first day, it's just down or up. I was mentally tired. I mean, you know, I'm 60 something miles into it. And we got to Sassafras, which I did okay through.
Yeah.
But then between Sassafras and Table Rock it was long. It was only like, what, 3 or 4 miles?
Oh, no, from Sassafras is 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
It just felt so long. Like, and you know how when you're at the end of a hike and you're like so excited to see your car? Mm-hmm. And so it just makes it seem like even longer sometimes. Like, as much as I was dreading seeing the car because it meant coming back to real life, I was also excited to not be carrying this pack anymore. We were kept having like these little false summits on the way to like peeking up at Table Rock. And at one point I thought we were there and it wasn't. It was like the backside of the Table Rock. And Zach's like, no, we still have a little bit further. And I just kind of looked at him and I got a little teary and I was like, I'm tired. And I even told him, I was like, I feel defeated. Like I hadn't been as strong overall as I had hoped I would be on this hike. We normally hike every week. We haven't, like I said, for the past couple months because of life. And we were coming out of summer when I don't hike much because the kids are out of school. And we'd been on several hikes, but I've not, all by my own fault, not prepared as much as I had wanted to. I'm a really bad procrastinator. So I just felt kind of weak overall, but I was just mentally tired. And so, you know, he hugged me. I was a little tearful because I was just worn down. And he gave me my words of affirmation and encouragement. And, you know, so then we kept going and we got to Sassafras and it was good. But I was just kind of mentally done at that point. So I stopped enjoying it like I should, which is one of the reasons why I say I want to do it again, because now I know and I think I can enjoy it the whole time. And then from top of Table Rock down to where we parked, it's 3.5-4 miles.
Yeah.
And it is just,
it's straight down.
Down. And it's not switch back down. Mm-hmm. It's just 2-foot steps down on boulders and roots. It was the most unkempt section of the whole entire trail. Yeah. Like the other 72 miles put together were better maintained, even in their worst parts, than this 4 miles was.
And is that because is it like a state park and it's kind of the park takes ownership? You think?
I assume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Coming and it's still used. It's probably too many people on those trails and they're not.
There's a camp there.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, cause you could see in the other parts where like the Foothills Conservancy people do incredible work and they need some major kudos for what they do to this trail. I'm sure they have much more restrictions in a state park and like you said, where it gets used more.
Yeah.
And then, you know, with the last 4 miles of it being down, my left knee, just my IT band, it was just the outside of it was just screaming like a burning stab every time I stepped down, and it would go out on me and was weak. And so then that was just making my already fragile mental state a little bit worse, because not only was I like, you know, in mental pain, I was now in physical pain. And I learned then how much Zach actually enjoys that physical pain and tries to push himself into that to see how far he can do and how tough he is, which I know he is so much tougher than I am in so many ways. He really is. And then at one point I fell.
Yeah.
I think I hit a fucking acorn or something and my leg gave out and I fell off of like this 2-foot step and landed. I mean, I'm really lucky how I landed. I have some padding in the behind area and I landed on a stick that should have been holding up like a step, basically, like a down tree that they had used as a step, and they had put like those pegs in to hold it. It wasn't holding it or whatever it was, but it was sticking out like 4 inches, and I landed straight on that. And if I had hit up higher, I would have gotten my kidney or my back or something. But ooh, my bruise.
Yeah, that was an impressive bruise. Yeah.
So that was the second crying episode of the trip, and the final one too. But
we had more spicy wildlife encounters. So
we did have more spicy. Yeah, that took my mind off of it. But so then I cried again, and that one I think I cried out of more pain. But I cry when I get frustrated. I'm kind of an easy crier, anyways.
I understand that. Yeah, and sometimes because you just need to get it out. And
Oh yeah, and I was pissed too. Like I was like that angry hurt. Cry. I was angry at myself. I was angry at my knee. Whoever put that stupid peg there, you know. But we were almost done.
Yeah.
I remember I kept looking at my watch. Zach doesn't know this. Like I would look at it like every 2 minutes and be like, oh, we're at, but I was having to go so slow. I couldn't take a normal stride or a normal step. I felt like I was 80. I would step down with my right leg and then very gingerly bring my left leg down. And I had to do that with every single down step because my knee was hurting bad.
I could tell you're hurting. It was a pretty slow. I mean, we were probably 1 mile an hour, maybe less for the last stretch. I mean, it was a slow going, but.
And he offered to carry my pack for me. I can't tell you how many times, but I'm stubborn and was like, no, no, I'm carrying my pack. Damn it. I have to do this. So it was. And then we were a half a mile from the end and Zach was in front of me by 50 feet.
Yeah, we were close.
And?
Oh, well, so yeah, I came around a corner. It was a left-hand turn and I saw a black critter come out of the woods onto the trail. And it looked like a big black lab. And I thought, that's a big dog. And I turned, once I got focused, I was like, oh, that's a bear. And it wasn't very big. I was like, it's kind of young looking. And then I saw another one come out of the woods following it. And then Big Mama came.
Well, no, then you were like, hey, bear. And I was like, what? And so you told me to stop. So I just froze.
Right.
And then I started backing up.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, the mom came. She came out following the two cubs. And one of the cubs went up the tree. And the other was looking at me. And then mom came, started coming up the trail at me. And then got up on hind legs. And I was just, I kind of.
Oh, my gosh. Big.
All right, so I just started slowly backing up as well because I didn't know how this was going to go.
Yeah.
I started talking to it, and I was able to back around that corner, but I could still see the head of the bear standing on its hind legs, looking up through the brush. And I kind of waited there for a bit, and they ended up taking off and took off through the valley. But that was pretty cool.
So you didn't know it,
coyote account.
If Mama was going to come running at you.
Yeah, no clue. I mean, I've seen lots of bears before, but never one quite that close. And then I've never had one get on its hind legs at me. So that was, I was like, okay.
Yeah. We both put our trekking poles up like little bug antennas and, start, hey, bear, and banging them together. Because I stayed at least 50 feet behind him once I realized what it was.
And then you can't walk fast. You're not hiking very fast.
I'm just going to die here. It's okay.
It all worked out.
And we don't carry bear spray or anything like that because I mean where we live it's not a huge worry. Yeah. And that was the last half mile or so of the trail. And so for the last half mile now I'm looking behind me constantly. So but then we came into the much more populated area and we passed a couple groups of people out on an evening or afternoon hike with their dogs and stuff and warned them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, that was a trip.
Yeah, it was.
So yeah, you had some excitement on your trip.
Yeah,
it wasn't just a normal the wildlife going on.
Yeah, and that really all the wildlife we saw. Yeah. We had frogs, several different types of snakes, the bears and the coyotes. That was it. Like there was no deer, no rabbits, nothing.
So how long did it take for you, Corinne, to say, I want to do it again. Like, what was that down? Because you get back, you said you're probably you're hurting, you're aching, and then at what point did you say, "Oh yeah, it wasn't so bad," or
I want
I
to say
kind
it
of want
was
to do
only a
it.
couple of days,
Okay.
at least in my head. I came back and I was talking to my friends, the girls that I did the art lobe with a year prior, because I had a significantly more cell phone service than I expected. So I was texting
Yeah.
my best friend Pamela a couple times, like letting her know how things were going and stuff. And there was definitely a couple times like, I hate this shit. I'm not doing it
Never
again. And
again.
a couple days back, I was like, nope, we're doing this. You're going to come with me. Like, so it didn't take nearly as long as the first time I did the art lobe to be like, yeah, I want to do this again.
I think that's a normal experience. I mean, even, I get those feelings too. I mean, like, you think suck for a while and then you're like, okay, but like when you look back on hindsight, it's a pretty good experience all in all, even though it may have had its low points.
Yeah,
So.
it was great. And I mean, it was great just getting to be with just Zach and have nothing, like he says all the time, there nothing to do but walk. Like you just walk until you don't want to walk anymore. And then you make your food and you go to sleep and you wake up. And
It again.
yeah, I mean, we had coffee by the river one day, by a lake one morning, like watch the sunrise. Like it was, I've already forgotten, minus the pain of that last day, I've already forgotten any of the things I didn't like about the trail, and I'm only remember the highlights of it
Yeah.
and the giving miles
and those giving
and the giving
miles
miles.
and the work those Foothills Conservancy people put into that trail. Like
Yeah, big shout out to them. They
man.
do a phenomenal job maintaining that trail. The signage, everything is awesome.
Yeah, I was so busy looking at the sign on our third day that said we were halfway. So there's this sign that says Oconee State Park, 38.1 miles this way, Table Rock 38.1 this way, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, and Zach's like, Corinne. And I look down, and right where I was about to put my foot was the biggest timber rattler skin I had ever seen.
Oh.
And Lord, am I lucky, it was somebody must have killed it and skinned it. It was like actual skin, it wasn't like a shed. I would have stepped on that thing and been dead because there was no service, there was no way to get out of the area we were in quickly. It must have fallen off of somebody's pack or something. It was just laying in the middle of the trail. I'll send you a picture of it.
I'm like, what are they doing? Are they like
Yeah.
making some dinner there, cooking it up?
Right.
I don't know.
It was kind of random. Yeah. I mean, somebody had obviously skinned it. That was pretty cool.
But yeah, I mean, all the signs were beautiful, like well made and painted, and
I wonder what the story is behind that. I'm sure there's someone that does
missing
it
their
or did it.
Oh, yeah.
No, oh,
Yeah.
that too.
Oh,
Someone
yeah.
wonder where the
Yeah,
skin went.
the sign. Sorry, squirrel. Well, I know the Boy Scouts down there to have a lot of work to do. Like their signage, a lot of the bridges and stuff they put in were projects done by Boy Scout troops, which is pretty cool. Oh, and then on the second day, we got some trail magic.
Oh
I'd never had trail magic. I've
yeah.
heard about it. So Taz is his name. Give him a shout out too. Had a cooler. We were probably like a third of the way done with our first day, so like maybe 6 or so miles in, and there was a cooler full of water bottles and Coke and Mountain Dew and stuff like that. And oh my gosh, so we each took a Coke and had it with our lunch, and it was the best tasting Coke
That's,
ever.
I mean,
It's
it is like
cold too.
after you hike, it's always the best, like the beverage after you hike.
So yeah, I'd never had trail magic before, and I was like, oh my God,
You're
this
super excited about it. Yeah, it's like, take a cooler,
is
take a picture.
Yep. Oh yeah. Zach did oblige me with all my picture taking.
So what would you, I guess, what would you do differently next time, or what lessons are you taking for the next go around? Like Corinne, you want to possibly do it with your friends. So like, what would you take into it from this trip?
Well,
Cheese.
I'll
Cheese.
definitely
Wait,
where is that cheese from? Was it special
it's
cheese?
from
just a
Ingles. It
block of
was,
cheddar from Ingles.
yeah, it was just a hard block. But yeah, neither of us got sick off it, so we were like, it's fine. So I wear Ultras, and they were definitely nearing the end of their life. And
I think maybe my knee like was hurting from hurting, but I think I next time I'll probably, if I know my shoes are at like 300 and something miles, maybe I'll wear the new pair for the hike. And not have the ones who've already had many miles on them. That might help. But just mentally for myself, remembering why I like being out there. And it's hard, like on the days where you're 14 miles in and you're going up again. But just like, I mean, Zach says all the time, any day, even a bad day in the woods is better than a day not in the woods. Like, and it really is true. It's hard to remind myself of that, but I wouldn't change anything about my system. We both have really nice camping quilts, and Zach's tent was great and lightweight. I have a good filter and all that. I brought the wrong sports bra, but luckily I brought two. So then I just had to carry an extra bra that I didn't need. But otherwise, I don't bring extra clothes. I bring my pajamas and just stink. It's fine. It's him. He's used to it. But I mean, my pack, we weighed it. And with, I carry a liter and a half or a liter and three fourths. I carry a big water bottle. I like more water. And that's one of my fears for some reason is running out of water and being thirsty. But I think my pack only weighed like 27 pounds with food. And we brought chairs. We each have those like,
Like
what
the
kind of
little.
chairs do we have?
Yeah, we did go kind of luxury camping this go. Like you said, no, yeah, we had those little
Helinox.
Helinox, yeah.
Yeah, so we carried those. And that was nice, like not being on the ground, having, because we have butt pads too, but having like back support. We had a good little system.
It was luxurious.
Yeah. It was really nice not having to carry a tent. I'll be sad when I do it with my friends and I have to carry an extra pound of tent
You
weight.
just won't carry the chair. You just do about
Yeah, I won't carry
that.
the chair. Not worth it if I don't have Zach to carry the tent with me.
What's the next one that you guys are going to do together? Have you thought about it?
Don't
Don't know. I
know.
don't know about together. I'm going to Yellowstone in September.
Oh,
I
what's she gonna do there?
don't know. My best friend is a nurse out there right now doing some traveling stuff, and she's going back in the fall. And so she's already been there this past fall and has a whole list of things for us to do. So I've got to start researching it because Zach's never been to there either. So, but we don't have another one planned for us. I know we both want to do the Tahoe Rim.
Yeah,
And
Tahoe Rim Trail.
we
Yeah,
want
one
to do
day.
the Grand Canyon rim to rim, but those are probably a little further down the
Yeah.
line with kids and stuff. I would like to do the Lynville Gorge. Zach's done
That's a
that.
good one.
And just,
Yeah.
I really want to get back into our, we were going on weekly hikes together. And
Just been busy this fall.
I know, making excuses and just something comes up and we do it. So that's really my goal right now is for just him and I to be able to get back into our every week hikes.
I think I'm a bit trying to do the Bartram Trail this fall. I think it's my
Okay.
plan. Yeah.
I've heard there's a section on that where there's some like angry dogs.
I think on the Franklin Road Walk, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I've heard about that. It'll be an
That's
adventure. We'll see. We'll see how it shakes out. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I think I'm gonna shoot to
Yeah.
do that in October, so that'd be cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So exciting, all the stuff you guys are doing.
It's been an adventure here. Yeah, good, busy, busy.
Yeah. I tell Zach, like, I'll always do the Lobe again with you, but I'm pretty sure after March, he's not getting on that trail for a
I
while.
will take a little bit of a break from the low for a bit.
I would think so too.
He
Yeah.
told me I'd do it in a day with him in March, and I promptly replied,
No.
no.
Yeah.
No.
Are your friends still game for it, or are they, kind of getting tired of it too?
No, I mean that they want to do it. It's
Yeah.
just been, you know, and I mean my
Yeah.
I'm pretty fortunate. My work schedule, I have a lot of days off that people don't normally get, just because of how my hours are blocked together. So, yeah, it's just a time factor. I mean, I think some of them would do it, but it's just been time, and it's been kind of cool to do it by myself, honestly. Like it's been nice and quiet, and get to reflect out there and listen to a good podcast, listen to music, and just walk through the woods for a whole day.
Yeah.
You said this last one was the worst one. It was like the trail. He sent me a video and it's just like
ice because it's such a washed out trail. Instead of like it just being like a little ravine of dirt, he said that whole section was just ice.
It was just a frozen stream. Imagine just walking down a frozen stream and that's what you had. I mean, if I hadn't had my micro spikes, I wouldn't have been able to do it. Like, it would have been turn around, do another day.
And how cold has it been out there? It's
been like wishy-washy. It hasn't been consistent cold, but we've had like days where like it's the other day I was driving to work and it was 1 degree. It's just like, and this week it's been nice. It's been the 50s. So it's just not very consistent winter, but yeah, it's been cold. It's been real cold.
Yeah. It's been weird here too. I haven't been out on the trail definitely for a long time, just for the sake of this move. You know, we moved in the summer and it's hard. It's hard to get out and do stuff. It is.
There's always something that, and it's really, I think that's one of the problems as adults, is there's always something that you're like, well, I need to do this. Yeah. And it's like, I need to actually go outside and move my body. And Zach's much better about doing that and reminding me that you have to do that. Like, you have to, like, the dishes will wait, the laundry will wait, the phone calls and the emails will wait. Like, and yeah, I try to emulate him, but then I get bogged down and like, no, I have to do this. And
you always feel better after you take time to do activity. Always do.
I went on like a little 3-mile walk the other day with our son and then a friend and their son. And, you know, their son is 5. And we stopped every 10 feet. But even that, like getting home, I was like, oh, I feel so much better just having been outside with that, you know. And so, you know, life will wait. Yeah.
So let's close out with, I guess, tell me, each of you, like, one piece of advice for, you know, for hiking together, like, maybe for getting your partner out there, for making, you know, time for each other on the trail. Obviously, we know the challenges you guys have just talked about, but I know it's important to you. So, yeah, just what would you tell listeners?
I think respecting the other person's limitations and that their version of what they want to do may not necessarily align with yours, and being okay with that, that's super important, and that's okay. Yeah, it's just a different way to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And mine kind of goes along with that, like not pushing yourself to the point of being uncomfortable and letting your partner know, or hiking with a partner who's aware, like, of what you need. Like, there was several times on the trail when I told Zach, hey, I just need to put my stories in and I need to just be miserable by myself for a minute. Because otherwise I'm going to push myself harder than I want to. And then I'll get angry at you, even though it's not your fault. And that's one of my big things when I'm struggling personally out on the trail, just because Zach is with me, it is not his fault that I'm angry. Like, you know, but sometimes it's easy to snap.
Sometimes.
But it's easy to snap at your hiking partner, you know, when you're just angry at yourself or your situation. So I have to remind myself of that frequently. Like, no, he didn't force me to come out here. I came out here because I wanted to be, and I wanted to be out here with him. And he's being patient with me. I should show him that too.
Yeah. I think it makes your relationship stronger. I think, you know, going through those things together, and then also it just mirrors, like, okay, you got to be a great communicator at home too and on the trail. And just like, So it's good life advice.
Yeah. I mean, these past 2.5 years, 3 years that we've been hiking significantly more together, I feel like we've been closer, you know, in the 18 years we've been together.
Yeah.
I mean, just because we have that time together. And
yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening today. And I hope that you are having a great spring hiking season. I want to hear about it. I know it's been a while since I've been putting out episodes, but I'm excited to get back into the swing of things. So send me a message, hikepodcast@gmail.com, or you can find me on social at The Hike Podcast. Until next time, see you on the trail.